All right, good Wednesday. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Hope your Wednesday's off to a great start. It's hump day. As we get you closer to the weekend and more football action. Now, we are waiting on Titans head coach Brian Callahan to come out and speak to the media. He's scheduled to speak at 11:50, and that dude has not been on time since he got here. So we're waiting. Now, imagine if we – here he is. Here's Brian Callahan. See ya.
You sure? Yeah, excited to get ready to go play Arizona this week. They've been in some really tight ball games. I think they've lost two games in a row now on walk-off field goals at the end of the game. So they've played a physical brand of football in the front. They've run the ball well in their past games. They got a very similar scheme to us on the offensive side, and then defensively, it's a unique setup. They do a really good job with how they use their players. A lot of different personnels and fronts, rotations, coverages. I got a lot of respect for their coaching staff. You know, Jonathan Gannon and their defense coordinator Nick Rallis and Drew Petzing on the offensive side, and then Jeff Rogers, their special teams coordinator. It's a really good special teams unit. Those guys are all highly respected coaches. They do a really good job with what they have there in Arizona. I think Buda Baker is a phenomenal football player. You see him all over the field. He's a real difference maker on their defense for him. He's fun to watch play football. We got our hands full with making sure we know where he's at on every play. But they got a good team. They got some young players that are playing well. They got some veteran guys that are stepping up and contributing in some important roles. Calais Campbell's still out there doing it at a high level, which is crazy to see how well he's playing. So. Good team, got to go on the road and go play good football if we want to win.
Knowing that quarterback growth is not linear, wondering about the footwork element of quarterback growth. And are there any indications that is more or less linear?
There's certainly things, especially when you're coming from the college game into the pro game, and the timing is so much more exact at this level, and the progressions of the quarterback, where his eyes go, what the route is, tied directly into his drop and his footwork. Those things have to be very precise, and it does take some time for guys to understand what that feels like and what it looks like, where your feet are tied into really the progression. And so as your feet hit the top of the drop and you take one hitch and your eyes go one to two to three, that's a huge part of playing quarterback in the NFL. And it's a process that takes guys a little bit of time. We're still working really hard with Cam on those things. There's moments where it's really good, and there's moments where he's continuing to understand and get better at it. Those are high areas of focus for us in terms of the timing of the passing game with tied in with his footwork and the discipline and patience of the footwork too. That's all a huge part of it. So it's a constant work in progress, and there's signs where it looks really good, and then we have moments where we got to keep correcting it. So I'd say the best thing is it's a work in progress.
In terms of football,
Cam's comments after the game the other day, but certainly showed competitive spirit, mm-hmm. fire, etc. Any concerns though? I mean, this is a guy that is not used to not winning and you know, struggling either. How do you deal with him in terms of those things that he is not used to?
Yeah, he's still he's a young player. You know, he's a number one overall pick. He's the face of a franchise, if you will. He's got high expectations for himself. We have high expectations around him, and we all want to meet those. And his ability to be in that spotlight in that moment, I think, is a growing process for him. I think he's growing up. I think he's starting to understand the weight of his words, what those things mean when he speaks and everyone's listening and watching. And then even though he says, you know, he follows up the commentary with a lot of the right things, it's the one-liner that gets taken. And, you know, he's learning how to deal with you guys and how to understand, how to have those conversations and still you know, maintain the image that he wants to maintain as a starting quarterback. So growing up is not always easy, and I think there's some things that he's learning along the way, just like we all do.
Back to the footwork thing a minute. When, as guys, you know, from a young age go through as much coaching and tutoring and, you know, playing as they have,
and they advance to this level, shouldn't footwork be an issue that most guys are past?
Oh, no, they're never past it. There's guys that are in years into their career that are still working on those things. It's, to me, I would liken it to it's probably similar to like a golf swing, right? Where you're sort of always working on it. You're always tinkering with it. You're always finding out where you can make it better, where you can be more efficient. Those are all things that guys are working on. I mean, you know, all these guys still go all offseason long to go see other quarterback coaches and guys to continue to work on it. It's a craft is the best way to put it. The footwork and the anticipation and the timing of playing quarterback is an art form, and they spend a lot of time working on it, trying new things, tweaking it. So I would say it's never something that guys ever arrive to. I mean, it's something we're always constantly working on with quarterbacks, especially, you know, young ones. And sometimes they don't get the same type of detailed footwork and coaching in those years of the 7-on-7s and stuff like that. They just go out and play ball. So yeah, I think it's a skill, it's a craft, and it's something that we spend a lot of time on.
What's your perspective on blocking out the noise in general for yourself, for the players? Is it something that you think is super necessary? I know Bones was saying yesterday sometimes he's mm-hmm. motivated by criticism. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think everyone's got their own way of handling those things. Some take a lot more than others. But there's part of that you can use as motivation if you're looking for it. There's definitely ways that it can inspire you in some way, shape, or form. I generally take the stance that most things on social media and Twitter are generally poison. And I try to stay away from it as much as possible personally. I know, but our players are of the age and the generation of guys that have just grown up with phones and social media. So they see things, they understand that criticism comes with this job, good or bad. And you have to learn how to deal with both of those things, especially when things go well too. You got to deal with the praise part of it. They're both equally dangerous. And so my best advice in my own personal practice is I tend to not engage in as little of it as possible. No offense to you guys.
I know you got to get Tajay back and on the raw, back on the 53-man first, but when he is back and healthy, what does that look like with him and Tony moving forward? What do you want it to look like as far as distribution of carries, mm-hmm. play time, and all that?
Yeah, I think putting a number on it or a finite statement on it at the moment until we know where he's at and how, you know, type of shape he's in and game shape. He hadn't played in a month. And he hasn't played yet this year except for the preseason game that he played in. So we're going to see where he's at, see how much he can handle from a conditioning and load standpoint. But certainly would like to have him involved. I mean, the way he was practicing in training camp was really exciting. We were very much looking forward to seeing how he could help us on offense. He brings an explosive element that and a change of pace that is going to be good for us. So hoping to get him involved as quickly as possible and as much as he can handle.
Outside looking in, it seems like RPO is not something you guys are using as much. How much thought do you have on increasing that, knowing that that's one of the things that Cam did so well in college?
Yeah, we've dabbled in it. There's some things. The RPO game is can be hit or miss at this level. There's some really good looks at it occasionally, and then there's some not great looks at it. Defenses have gotten pretty good at finding ways to make it challenging. So yeah, there are things that we just keep probing and we keep working on and we keep finding where they might fit for us. Like I said, we've done some. We've done some run option things, not necessarily RPOs, kind of two different, you know, pre-snap alerts versus actually like reading defenders. We've done a little bit of it and we keep growing with it. We have plenty of it in the arsenal. We've worked it a bunch in training camp. Just depends on who you're playing and what kind of style and structure you face.
Has he lobbied to you at all to increase that?
Not anything out of the normal flow of conversation. Nothing out of the ordinary, no.
You want to develop him in a drop-back fashion, and a lot of offense has to happen out of that. His best stuff, obviously, has happened way, way off script.
Sure.
How do you kind of find stuff that feels off script to build for him that's actually, mm-hmm.
I think one of the things you saw, you know, maybe from the from the indie game in certain points is, and some of the stuff we've done over the years, like some of the boot game is and movement game is very similar, where you're getting outside of the pocket and you're moving off the launch point, and there's guys moving across the field. You know, that really that first drive in Houston, same sort of thing happened. We're running a movement play, and they kind of cover the initial part of it, and Alec breaks across the field, and Cam's got time and makes a big throw off schedule. Those are the things you can interject and give to him that feel a little bit like that. So that, you know, moving the pocket's always going to be a part of what we want to do, and that boot game and movement game is a good complement to that.
Spoke real highly of Jeff's play so far this year. The other day, I wonder if those accomplishments are even kind of more noteworthy given the fact that he's getting double teamed at the rate he is, and B, that you guys really haven't had another consistent pass rusher step up so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, all of that aside, I just think that Jeff's playing football right now at a. I'd be hard-pressed, you know, and I watch enough around the league, I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody on the interior defensive line playing as well as he is right now. It's been really fun to watch him play football. He's been impactful in every way, shape, or form on the defensive line. I think he's playing football at about as high a level as you can play, and the hope is that inspires those guys that are with him to try to match that. And I think they did. They played a lot better. I mean, we're getting better in that spot. I think we're using guys the right way. We're mixing in some of the pressure spots where we can help, you know, alleviate some of those, you know, just one-on-ones where we can try to send more guys to the quarterback. But those guys got to do their part too. You know, that's all a part of the process, and keep finding ways to get them in the right matchups. But there's nobody, I hard pressed to find anybody playing better football around the league than Jeff is.
Weight loss has much to do with it.
You know, I think that's probably a better question for him on how he feels. But I mean, you see his explosiveness. I mean, that sack that he had, that the speed that he got off the ball and beat the center really before he had even a chance to put his hands up. There's probably something to that. I think he probably could elaborate more on how he feels, though.
What's your confidence in Joey at right now, and kind of what was the motivation for the kicker tryouts yesterday?
That stuff is kind of normal flow of operations, you know, just front office guys doing their homework on what's out there. Again, always, just like I always say for us, you know, we're always evaluating everything. And so that's just a part of the normal procedure. We have workouts every Tuesday. We always have guys in at all positions, even positions that maybe we don't think we need, but you're always taking a look at what's available should you need something. So it's more just doing your homework and making sure you know what's available. But my confidence in Joey is sky high. I think, and I even talked to him in the locker room before we came out after halftime, and just, I was like, hey, you know what kind of game is going to be. We're coming right back to you. And he knows that. He's been fantastic for us. Those, you know, kickers miss field goals occasionally. It's just, unfortunately, he missed two in a game. And the long ones are what they are. Those are more shots than they are necessarily anticipating 100% makes on those. But I believe wholeheartedly in Joey, and he's been fantastic for us as a teammate. I'll send him right out there again to kick it again.
Denard and Bones yesterday talked about maybe the importance of simplifying things schematically to get guys to whatever it is, that think less, act more, get back to basics to try to, especially on offense, wondering what you guys might can do to jumpstart a unit that hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, that's all a part of the process when you're trying to evaluate on you know, why do we not perform the way that we think we can? Why are we not producing at a rate that we should be? You always go back and look at yourself first. You know, we all do that. I do the same thing. Is how do we best put our players in position to be successful? And sometimes the answer is do more, and sometimes the answer is do less. And I think our guys have done a great job of reflecting and understanding and trying to figure out what is the best thing for this version of our football team, this 2025 team. And every year, every team is different. And sometimes the things you think are going to be good going in to a season aren't as good as maybe you had anticipated. So you have to be ready to pivot and adapt and adjust. And that's the name of the game in this league, is how quickly can you pivot and adjust and find a solution to a problem. And that's our job, is to find as many solutions as possible. And that's always a part of it, is what do we need to do? And if it is simpler, then that's what we'll do. If it's a different schematic approach, then we have to do that. And that's what the good coaching staffs in this league do. And we got to do a good job of finding a way to get a win. And that's our focus. And whatever that takes, we'll be willing to do.
All right. Thanks, Coach. All right. That is Brian Callahan, who did his press conference. We'll react to some of that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe, Chase McCabe here, Dr. Crane there, and Brian Callahan talking about footwork. Good stuff.
Hey, your house is burning down, but how's that footwork of Cam Ward? Not once. You're asked twice about his footwork. Nobody cares. Literally, nobody cares about your footwork. What are you doing to improve the team? And how many times can you say, in a press conference? He spoke for 14 minutes and said nothing. So I don't care about Cam Ward's footwork. I want to care how you're going to improve this team. Are you going to win on Sunday? I got none of that from him.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, because he doesn't have answers.
Look, let me ask you this. This got me a little upset.
Okay.
Your kicker misses two field goals.
Yep.
You go to him at halftime. It's okay, buddy. Hey,
yeah, we're coming back to you.
It's okay. How about make it or it's your ass? One of the two things. Where's the fire? There's no fire in that organization, except add a D to that.
Well, they're on fire.
Which should be. Should be fired. That's just terrible. I mean, it was a waste. I apologize to our listeners out there for that press conference because it was god-awful. I apologize.
Well, they understand.
Feel better now.
Good. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 0388 says, I'm waiting for him to say, quote, I got a beautiful 78 Pontiac out here. Old lady from Bellevue owned it. She didn't hurt it. It'd be great for you. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
Used car salesman.
Take your best offer right today only, though. Today only. Not guaranteed he'll be here tomorrow. Yeah, man. I just don't.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
That's right.
Fat Joe. That's not right. You, but.
You son of a God. Insulted. I'd call HR, but it's Chase, so I don't know what man. I don't know what I could do here. Oh man, it's just another day of just what's happening.
It is, but
and we got to work. We got to wait till 3:15 Sunday to watch this disaster of a team play. It can't be over by 3:00. They don't play till 3:00 in Arizona. So you know, Callahan's talking about Arizona, how it's the next coming of the 85 Bears, which they're not, but. It's I don't know, man. 3-18, you're talking about being nice to your kicker at halftime. I just don't. This guy.
Yet they supposedly had some in to try out.
Did they?
Well, that was the question.
Oh. Oh, I tuned him out most of those.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
That's okay.
I'm having trouble breathing, talking, all the things today.
That's okay, so. Buddy.
All right, man. We're here to help you.
Playing hurt.
We are here to help you.
I didn't get a phone call, by the way. They said they had kickers. I didn't get a phone call.
Could you kick?
Oh, yeah, I can kick a easy 40.
What about 50? You got to go – I mean, the NFL, you got to kick 50 plus.
Got a tight hamstring, okay? I don't know if we can get to 50.
Can you think you could kick a 40-yarder?
Yeah, I've done it in the past.
Done it in the past?
All yeah, right. Like 5 years ago.
All right, we need to go outside and take
well,
this.
Well, let's go call McGavick, and let's go over to McGavick and set
you
up.
You know what? No, here's what we'll do. Don't you guys have a game tomorrow night at Stratford?
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'll do it.
I'll come out there tomorrow night. Hang out before the game.
Done.
See if you can kick a 40-yarder. Are you a soccer style or straight on?
Soccer style. Okay. I don't toe poke it.
I'm straight on, brother. Hit me in the top of the head like
super toe. Well, you can long snap to him.
I can long snap to you. But hit me on the head like the old super toe toy.
Do I have to hold it?
Yeah, unless they have one of those little like those little tees where they have the needle on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody. We get Pogue to hold it. Well, he probably can't get back up after.
I mean, I couldn't either. That's the problem.
well,
Coach
Spears
night, will
at Stratford. What's the game tomorrow night? Is East at Stratford, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
You two guys are on the call, and Coach Bubba Spears. I'll come out there, and we'll do this tomorrow night.
Okay. Good.
See if we can do it.
That'll be fun.
Be a lot of fun. At
the rate I'm going, you might be doing play by play.
This might be more fun than listening to Brian Callahan press conference. I mean, that's just terrible.
Is that our question of the day? How far do we think Dr. Crane can kick a field goal?
He says 40, so who knows?
So that would be from the, what is it?
23.
23? Yep. Yeah.
I need you to go out. Yeah, I like Chase's. It's got to be closer to 50, man.
Well, let's start. I mean, he says 40, so okay. Let's do that, and then we'll back it up 5 yards.
And if you miss it, Brian Callahan's going to tell you it's going to be okay in this world.
Yeah.
It really is going to be okay if you miss field goals. Hey, and here's the best part. coming right back to you. I'm coming right back to you.
Hair Metal Henry says, I'm starting a petition, boys. The Penn State slogan is We Are, and they play in Happy Valley. I want the Titans to change their slogan to We Ass and play in Crappy Valley. Henry, that might be one of the funniest things
you've ever said. I've already seen a few T-shirts around town.
They'll be there.
Yeah. Now on the show.
What would you do if Vrabel walked out in one?
Oh, my gosh. That would be the absolute best. Holy cow. Now if he doesn't, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm extremely disappointed Mike Vrabel does not walk out in a T-shirt that says We Ass. Again, we're not fans of the language on this show. This is a family show, but still, I would have that would be the best. Now, if he doesn't, I'll be upset. But he's got to do that, and always possible. But no, that's not our question of the day.
No, what is our question of the day?
Well, I had about a bunch in my head, but now that the airport has redone all the red lights, I'm curious, and I've talked to Jill Jelinek about this. We had this question a long time ago. What? Dr. Crane, wait on this. Well, you're on your phone. What's the longest red light in Nashville? I'm curious. What do you think is the longest red light in Nashville? Because the one at the airport now, the first one, Donaldson Pike, coming towards the airport, is at least.
The one down here at Murfreesboro Pike and Donaldson, like, I skip a birthday usually.
If you don't hit that just right, you might as well just pack an overnight bag.
Let me tell you something. Having lived here my whole life, you know, in U2, in Dr. Crane 3, we know where the slow red lights are. So if there's somebody in front of you that, like, they could push that yellow and they don't, you want to get out and fight them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and there's always this person in front of me. I'm like, go, go, go. And I'm like, you son of a, like, I just.
Right?
I'm like, raising my hand up and everything. And I'm like, where'd you go? You had time!
See, that's what red lights do to us. They drive us crazy. So I there's a red light on Lebanon Road that I cut through a parking lot to avoid it. And I do that. But I'm just curious, what do you think? What is the longest red light in Middle Tennessee? That's the
question. Can I tell you, my dad, my late father, had the greatest line ever. So he was on Highway 70 in Bellevue, and he pushed a yellow. He ran the red. Like it wasn't pushing the yellow. The yellow was gone. So a cop was behind him and pulled him over, and he knew, like, he was like, you know. So a cop comes up and goes, you ran that red light back there? And he goes, man, it was still pink. It wasn't red. It was still pink. And the cop laughed so hard at it, he let him go.
Oh, that's an excellent one. I should use that, yes.
To get out of it. He's like, yeah, I know it wasn't yellow, but it was still pink.
Oh, is that cop's like, this guy is psychotic. Get on your way. I'll see you later. No, I want to know. I mean, the one at Lebanon on Donaldson Pike before the airport, before you cross over, is a minimum 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, it's not, but to me, it's forever.
Here's the opposite of this.
Okay.
There is, in Bellevue, there is a light at Highway 70 and Sawyer Brown.
By the mall.
Where the mall used to be. Yeah, there's a Mapco at the corner. There's the Walgreens on the other side. So it stays green on 70 for a majority of the time.
Until,
but here's the thing. When you get the green on Sawyer Brown, you better go. Because that thing's going to change in about 3 seconds.
God, why even have a light there?
I know. But, like, I'm one of those usually, like, I'll count one Mississippi, two Mississippi honk.
Right.
It is one, bam, go, go, go. We don't have time. No, don't look at me. Go, go.
Is there a cut through to avoid that light or no?
No, because you got to cross 70.
I would never go that way.
Bridge there. Like, I'd just build a bridge. Like, screw the red light.
I would never go that way. If I knew that's going to happen to me, there's a Lebanon Road in Grayland for all my Donaldson friends, the one in front of Holy Rosary. That light only turns red when I'm coming by.
That one, you're right.
That light can go straight to hell.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, straight to hell. So Grayland,
dude, that one,
right?
Because when mom worked there, but there are so many lights in this town that I'll use the joke of, like, the people be like, "Hey, I thought you'd be here sooner." Well, I caught every damn red light on Murfreesboro Road. They're all working, by the way.
Yeah, right. It's terrible, man. Dr. Crane, real quick, where's your red light?
I can't really think of one.
On the way in, there's nothing?
On your way home, you'll think of five.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, whenever I drive, I make sure I drive with a purpose so I don't hit red lights. But I'll just get stuck behind some slow pokes every now and then. But besides that, I mean, I see a couple lights here and there, but nothing really comes to mind.
Nothing on Nolensville Road that drives you insane?
I mean, maybe the one on Limbar Drive over there, if you know what I'm talking
about. There you go. Yeah. Hell yeah, that's one.
That's one for sure, because they have that, I guess, the Hispanic market.
Yeah.
They have all those people cooking and stuff.
Art Pancake is right across the street
there. Yeah.
Art needs to get off his ass and change that red light, because it's bad. So you got one. We all got one.
We got one.
All right. Feel better now. We're going to hair metal therapy.
Hair metal Henry again. The longest red light in town is Brian Callahan keeping the Titans from going forward.
Oh, Henry, God bless you, man.
2513, have we have a We Ass shirt made and ship it to New England with a note from Vrabel, your warm-up shirt for the New England game.
Oh, my God.
Mike wants you to know it's illegal to cut past a red light on purpose.
Only if you get caught, buddy.
Here's the deal. Mike, now you got me on one.
Oh, yes!
We have a lot of men and women of Metro law enforcement and other law enforcement agencies that listen to this show and this station. And we appreciate everything that they
Amen.
Do to keep us safe on the streets. I would think that they have a better use of their time in catching criminals and other things
right.
than pulling Joe Dubin over for cutting through a gas station parking lot.
But here's the deal. If I see you, then I stop at the gas station, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting gas.
Yeah,
no
yeah,
big deal.
Right.
So yeah, we have, but I think avoiding now our great law enforcement that listens, I think avoiding a red light is, I think he's right. I think it is.
It is illegal. Yeah.
It is illegal.
I mean, there are, we've gone through this, the remote starting your car, the, you know, or letting your car heat up or whatever.
Hazard lights,
like the, the flash your high beams.
Yes,
like,
that's right.
These are all things that in the book are illegal, and if you want to be those people that is completely by the book, that's fine, that's you. But at the end of the day, like, should we not waste our time on dumb stuff like that, and let's focus on what's more important?
I agree with you on that.
Now, going 80 down Murfreesboro Pike, okay, yeah, we should probably do something about
which
that.
Is any other minute as you watch it out our window here, but yeah. So, yeah, this is a therapy session, 803 again. We're going to get this off our chest.
Yeah. All right. We have more of these, and we will read some of these and talk Titans and all that stuff. Coming up next, 102.5 The Game. This song always makes me feel good. That and Jimmy Buffett.
Because there are no red lights on the country road, right?
They're not.
That's why it's a damn good song.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Our question of the day. Brought to you by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Is the longest red light in Nashville.
Or Middle Tennessee.
Or Middle Tennessee.
We got a lot
of
listeners.
There were a few in Murfreesboro. I was in Murfreesboro this morning.
Right?
They said hi, by the way.
They're everywhere. So anywhere in Middle Tennessee, we think the longest red light is. And I've got a few answers here. I mean, it's always I know it's not eternity, but my God, it seems like eternity when you're stuck there.
3837, the light exiting Ascension St. Thomas West Hospital onto West End. 3 minutes red, 15 seconds green every single time.
That's right.
That's true.
Yep.
Gino, Harding Place in Nolensville.
Yeah. There you go, Dr. Crane. That's one on your side of town. Yes, that's right.
Thomas in Nashville. Dude, the red light in front of the Cash Saver in Lebanon is treacherous. It takes so freaking long. Shout out to Eddie and everyone at the Cash Saver. Thanks, guys.
Cutting through the lot, man. The Cash Saver. I love it.
Mike in Lebanon. The biggest issue is people on their phones when the light turns green and they're not prepared. This is very true.
You had a good point. Look, if you're the top dog at the red light,
yep.
Got to go.
You got it's on you. Like, I feel like at some of these lights, they're so long that it would be okay to get out and go, be like, hey, are you ready for this? If you're not, I need to know.
Yeah.
I need to know right now. If you can't handle this, we're going to switch you out.
Yes.
You're going to take my car, and I'm going to be top dog. We're going to switch out. But this is on you.
Like, immediately.
As soon as that turns green, you got to go.
I mean, there's a lot of responsibility. When you're number one at a red light, the main thing being go.
Wes in Clarksville, I sat at a stop sign for 10 minutes on waiting one to turn green, and then I realized it was a stop sign and not a stoplight.
Some good gummies there, buddy.
When I was learning how to drive, I would drive with my grandfather and my dad, both of them. And I don't know what, but my dad just scared, like, intimidated me whenever I would drive with him. And he wasn't intimidating. It was just, it's a dad. You don't want to let dad down. And so, and I guess I was that way with my grandfather, too. But anyway, we're driving and we pull up to a four-way stop and we're just sitting there and he just goes, "You waiting for that stop sign to turn green?" let's see. Lebanon Road, close to downtown, late night, the lights that are green will turn red as you approach them. No one waiting on them.
What do you do?
I'm not going to. That's up to you.
Can I tell you what the JoJo does?
No, don't incriminate yourself.
Oh, I'm not. That's illegal in 7 states, isn't it? I'm sorry. I find a way around that, and it works. Legally, I find a way around that. I'm not sitting at a red light when nobody's coming. I am not sitting there wasting my time.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
Just letting you know.
There is a longer text that's kind of off subject from Ben in Cumberland City you should go read because it's addressed to you.
Oh, okay.
It's very nice. Chris in Clarksville, the intersection at Trenton and Tiny Town Road in Clarksville is freaking horrible. Here's the thing about Clarksville is It's so hilly. Like, there's some hills. When I went to F&M Bank Arena the other day, I'm like, how do you all navigate these streets? Because, I mean, you're going it's like a roller coaster at Opryland. You're going straight up and then down.
Clarksville has kind of outgrown itself. We love our friends in Montgomery County. Great place, great city, one of the best. But that county has just exploded.
Oh yeah,
I'm hearing it's like might be the fourth biggest city in the state now.
Is it bigger than Chattanooga?
I'm hearing words. I mean, if somebody knows, let me know.
Memphis, Nashville,
Knoxville,
and then maybe Clarksville.
Yeah, I think city just sit in the city.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but it's just outgrown itself. So there's a lot of infrastructure problems up like any place else, and part of that
this whole state has that
long red lights and stop signs, man. It's just terrible.
It's like, hey, we're growing. Well, what should we do about that?
Why?
I don't know. We'll let the next guy figure it out.
See this can? I'm just gonna kick it down the road a little bit. Okay. I mean, when somebody asked me to, I had to go at a meeting across town over off Church Street yesterday. I had to come back on this side, and I got physically ill having to know I got to sit in traffic. I was like, oh my god. I can't do this.
Yep. This one, 3337, I have to go through a flashing four-way. Can y'all explain that the first person who stops goes first? Because I don't think anyone understands. Nobody on the face of this earth, I think, understands how a four-way stop works.
Do you default to the right? Is that that's what I was told.
Well, the way I was taught to remember it was it's not called left of way. It's, you know, even though that's not the same, but right of way. And so in my mind, I'm always going to the right.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's to the right.
If a ambulance, fire truck, police officer, and a mail truck pull up to a four-way stop all at the same time, who has the right of way?
Doesn't the mail truck?
It is, because they're a federal employee.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We've been down this lane before, and I missed the question like 8 times.
Yep.
Yeah, and also, if you can get pulled over, I was told this from a good friend of mine, by, like, if you are, I don't know, in Lebanon driving around, you're speeding, and the airport police can pull you over because it's a state agency. I was told that they can pull you over and give you a ticket.
Who can?
The airport police is down there because they're a state agency.
Oh, yeah.
They're not local. They're a state agency.
Yeah.
So, next time
they might are they state or federal?
I don't know. One of the two.
Because I thought like an airport was considered a federal.
Well, I know state agencies can pull you over.
Yeah.
And I thought that felt. Right. Even if it doesn't. So next time you want to.
I mean, Trump can technically pull you over.
Yep. Right. So next time you're on the interstate, you think you're cool blowing by an airport cop who's like, what's he doing 40 miles? They can pull you over.
I would laugh so hard if, like, one day on TV they're like, yeah, Donald Trump was out in front of the White House pulling people over.
Didn't he drive that garbage truck one day or one of the trucks around or something? Yeah. Why not do something like that? Yeah.
You know why I pulled you over?
Keep going.
You're going a little too fast. You just slow it down.
You got a nice car. It's a big, fast car. You slow it down.
Big wheels.
Big wheels. Never mind. I'm going to stop. Oh, all right. I promise. We'll talk more sports. And what we got coming up at 1 o'clock?
All right. 1 o'clock, we got one of my all-time favorite SEC football players, Chris Gaines, former Vanderbilt linebacker, is going to join us. He was on the last Vanderbilt football team to beat Alabama at Alabama back in 1984.
Did you clear this with Mike Organ?
I did clear this with Mike Organ, yes. I had to go through his secretary and then his secretary. It just took forever. But Chris was on that team in 1984, and just his thoughts of what's happening now. And Vanderbilt, one win away from being bowl eligible.
Going to be fun for sure. Looking forward to that and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday.
I will give each of you $5 if you tell me who wrote this song.
Jerry Jeff Walker.
No, sir. His daughter is a very famous singer.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
No. No. The Great. His number one song was I'm a Coca-Cola Cowboy. I'll let you look it up and you see who sung the song. But until then, don't you dare damn Google Chaser McCabe.
I am good. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He sung that in the Harold Henry knows the movie, Every Which Way But Loose. He's in that movie singing. The great Mel Tillis wrote that song.
I have an interesting stats.
Yeah.
About the Alabama and Vanderbilt game coming up this weekend.
Okay.
So I got this from DraftKings. It's one of the marquee games, obviously, this weekend. In Tennessee, 80% of the money is, where do you think?
On Bama.
Vanderbilt.
Really?
At plus 10.5. Nationally, 75% of the money is on
Bama.
Vanderbilt.
Oh, what?
Plus 10.5. Alabama-Vanderbilt is currently the second most bet college football game this week, according to DraftKings.
See, this is good stuff. This is why people tune in here. Wow. Are you surprised?
Not really, because I think everybody's always looking for a big underdog. You know, like we'll have – my guess is with silly underdog picks today, one of them will pick Vanderbilt.
What is it, 10.5?
10.5. Which I like – like right now, I'm going to go ahead and take it. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, like 10 in the hook for sure.
All right. I would take Bama. I just – because I look at the schedule. And
because Vanderbilt, you think they'll win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt, although good, has not really played a Florida State or a Georgia. You know, I mean, it's
– sure.
Played Georgia State and Charleston Southern and
– South Carolina, Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. So just because of that, I just think Bama wins this game by more than that. I mean
– we'll see.
They're going after Pavia. I mean,
look,
it's just –
here's the thing, and I saw some of Clark Lee's press conference yesterday. He was asked about, you know, the history and everything, and he said, oh, I'm not familiar with that history. They have the right mentality of, yeah, they know that nobody's going to pick them. They know that history's not on their side and all that stuff. They don't care. And it's one thing to say you don't care and the other to show that you, like, hey, we're just focused. And they're focused. So, look, it's a – you know, you want to go down there and win the game, obviously, but right now they're just like, okay, watch. Just watch.
Well, and the thing is, Pavia ruined their entire season and their off season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then when Ryan Williams comes out and says, we're going to stomp him like an ant or whatever that said on that podcast, and it takes off, and they know. I mean, this is a redemption game. Alabama's had very few redemption games. Very few. Almost, I can't recall another one. And so now they've got one against Vanderbilt to know, get that bad taste out of their mouth. For Vanderbilt to go down there and knock off Alabama and Tuscaloosa would be heavenly, would be amazing, because you've knocked them out of the playoffs. They're done. They got 2 losses. They still got to play LSU and some other tough schools, Tennessee. I mean, I think they're done if you knock them off, and they know it, man. That's why this game is so important.
9013 says taking Bama.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
that you let time to let us know that. Yeah.
They also said, don't speed, arrive alive. So that's good advice, too.
That is good, good advice.
I think my favorite texters are the ones that just, like, they will just text in like they're sitting right here next to us and replying to something. So I'll like read those, but like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Even better, man.
It's like, no, I'm sitting right there with you. Yeah. We appreciate that. That's what we want.
That's interesting. The money part. That really is. I wonder what people are seeing otherwise beyond the obvious of this is a good Vandy team taking on a really good Alabama team that's coming off a really emotional win. Is the emotional win part of this? That's a big win. You left a lot of emotion in Athens.
Yeah.
And Georgia probably should have won that game.
But here's the thing. I think last year Bama was looking ahead. Because didn't they play Georgia?
The week before.
It was the week before?
I think a week or two before, yeah.
Well, there was something the week after that they were looking ahead. But Vandy was also a really good team.
Oh, was it Tennessee?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that was
it. Yeah, because they rushed the field.
Right.
At both places. Yeah, I don't – but again, I mean, the whole thing is if Alabama gets so focused on Pavia, somebody else has got to stand up and beat them. That's it. If you're so focused – Alabama's not going to let Diego Pavia himself beat them.
Here's the biggest difference than anything they have ever faced with Vanderbilt. You got the quarterback. You got multiple weapons through the air with Sherrill and Stowers. You got a run game, and you have something. This is the big one. They have an offensive line. Vandy never had offensive lines.
What did Will Muschamp say yesterday? That's an experienced
and
good offensive line. That's almost the first thing he brought up yesterday.
Yeah, and the defense too. Like the defensively, my dad's favorite joke with Vandy was, doctors and lawyers can't play right tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because that's how it was back in the day. It's different now.
Well, that's the whole thing. You were too young. You don't remember Beano Cook, but Beano Cook in 1982 asked, what are Vanderbilt's chances of winning the SEC? And he said, the other nine schools have to go on probation.
Right.
And so the narrative could turn on Saturday. It really could.
And the thing is, Clark lived all that. As a fan growing up here, and then as a player, and now as a coach. So, like – you know, I'm sure he hears some of that stuff now and kind of laughs. But, like, we asked him at SEC Media Day, like, is the quote-unquote same old Vandy narrative gone? And, you know, no, not yet.
You know what? I would love to get into a bar fight with Clark Lee. I think he's sneaky badass.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got that bald-headed MMA look he's got going on over there. And he's smart, very tactical. Probably whip a lot of ass.
That's a great way to describe him. Tactical.
Yeah. I think I don't want to fight. I want to be on his side
when we go
into a bar and fight.
Sure. 100%. Well, coming up next, Chris Gaines.
Yes, former Vanderbilt line, one of my all-time favorite SEC players. He was on the 1984 Vanderbilt team that beat Alabama at Alabama last time they did that. So it'll be good to catch up with the former linebacker.
We will talk to him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.